Archbishop Charles Chaput at firstthings.com pens the following from the heart of a young father. Bishops get a lot of unsolicited mail from strangers, some of it pleasant, some of it much less so. It goes with the job. But every once in a while, a letter comes in that's worth sharing with a wider audience. Last month, in preparation for the October 2018 Synod, now, by the way, folks, you know what this Synod is about. You know what the Synod is about. This Synod is a continuation of the previous Synod, which resulted in Amoris Laetitia. This one is on is supposed to be the Synod on Youth. You know what this is going to be all about? This is all going to be about giving aid and comfort to what I call the tranny mammies. Now, tranny mammies are not the children. They're not the people that are afflicted with the disordered thinking. Tranny mammies are the ones that have given in to diabolical influences and are assisting their children and mutilating their bodies. If they did this for athletics, they'd be arrested. Those kids would be in foster homes. But we're talking about permanent physical and mental mutilation here. Thus the term tranny mammy, as if the child is nothing more than a harlot for the devil. To be molded, to be sculpted, to be cut, to be drugged, to be brainwashed. This is sick, folks. This is true sickness here. This is true diabolical activity here. Mr. Church, you should be more nice. No, I'm not being nice to the tranny mammies. I have great sympathy for the children. Pray for them every day. The parents, they're doing this for vanity. You know why? It makes them popular. Oh, the medium loves a tranny mammy. Can't wait to make front page news out of them. Mutilating their poor children. Wrong, 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 wrong. Why won't anyone else that has an audience of hundreds of thousands or a million, and you know who I'm talking about, why won't those cowards say what I just said? You know it to be true. And look, I'm trying to be as charitable as I can in speaking about this while keeping my job as a radio entertainer. I know why they can't say it, because if they do, they're fired. That's the last. Now, spreading the message is less important, standing for the truth and defending it, and maybe even sparing the souls and lives of thousands upon thousands of children, takes a backseat to promoting a politically correct, or I might say culturally correct, lie. That this is harmless or that this is good for the children, it can't possibly be, folks. It just can't. Any psychologist that wants to keep their distinction as a psychologist and is an actual psychologist who takes his Hippocratic oath seriously is not going to encourage physical mutilation therapy for a five-year-old who is confused. And if they do, they ought to be sued for malpractice, and the AMA ought to take their licenses away. This is straight up out of Beelzebub's playbook here. If you can get the children, corrupt their minds, which is working now. Remember, the demons are ascendant. They come for the children. They're not going to take no for an answer. This is a diabolical plot playing out right in front of us. Back to Bishop Charles Chaput. Hey, by the way, isn't Chaput the Archbishop of Philadelphia? I believe he is. Wouldn't he love to meet Joseph Pierce? I bet he would. Maybe we ought to invite Archbishop Chaput. That's an open invite, Archbishop. Your Excellency. He is. That's an open invite to His Excellency. He'd love it. Look, I'll go sit in the kitchen, make room for the Archbishop on May the 15th. So he gets this letter from this young man. I'm going to read it in part. I am 26 years old, a father of three children, and I wish to offer my perspective shared by many of my peers on Rome's upcoming synod on young people. Though the church's growing focus on evangelization of the nuns, it's in quotation marks, is encouraging, there have been recent discussions emanating from several prominent figures in Rome and throughout church leadership regarding a so-called paradigm shift. Now, I talk about the paradigm shift here on the show often. Again, does your member of the talk radio mafia talk about the subversion that has occurred and about the paradigm shift? Look, I hope that they do, but I doubt it that they do. In a church, please. That's why you're a pipsqueak and you're about to go under. Maybe it is. You're right. The remnant is not 50,000 people. The remnant is somewhere around 1,500 or 1,800 people we've discovered. It may not even be that big. 320 million, and it's up to 1,500 of us to do the heavy lifting. But you know what we have that no one else has? We got this. A few of you that are watching on YouTube, and I really wish we had the resources to kick our video portion up to make this a TV show that's broadcast on radio. Someday, our ship will come. This is my Holy Rosary from Norcia, Italy. That's where it came from. It was handmade by the monks. You know, the longer, the more I have it, the more I see as it shows that it's handmade, the simple beauty of it. You can join the Crusader Knights of the Most Holy Rosary. And if you do, you're basically just agreeing that you're going to say some semblance of the prayer to Our Lady to intercede for us, like she did for the sailors at Lepanto, for Jan Sobieski at Vienna, and for so many others that prayed to her for intercession. You know, many of the soldiers that stormed the beaches of Normandy, you know, that the Catholic chaplains were passing out thousands of rosaries the day of the D-Day invasion. Did you know that? Did you know that there were masses that were held across the channel for the Catholic enlisted that wanted to go to to confession to receive the Blessed Sacrament? And then the priests were, of course, giving their blessings in battle and were handing out thousands of rosaries. Those men were carrying those things on the beaches of Normandy. Some are even in the D-Day Museum right there in New Orleans. You can see them. Why? They asked the Blessed Mother for protection. Now, I don't know, and I can't tell you that she protected all of them, but I do know there were stories of men that survived, and they gave all thanks to the Blessed Virgin. So we ask her, as Crusader Knights of the Most Holy Rosary, to do four things for us. Make illegal the following things that are legal. She can intercede in the hearts of men. She can bring this about. Abortion, contraception, pornography, and sodomy. And then to bring to an end the cultural infamy visited upon the image of the divine image of the Holy Family. And then to bring to an end, these are simple petitions here, to make reparations as we pray the rosary for the blasphemies against her Immaculate Heart that she suffers with charity and love and patience every day. And then, of course, for your own personal intentions. Crusader Knights. This is the weapon. There is no greater weapon on earth. As a matter of fact, I believe this to be the weapon. And I believe this is one of the reasons why Our Lady came at Fatima to those children. And that she came again to Sister Lucia. And then she came again as Our Lady of Akita. And she repeats the same message and asks for the same things. Are we listening? No, we're not. Far too few people are listening. However, the people of Poland have gotten it, haven't they? The people of Poland got it. And there's going to be a similar event here in the United States with the rosary across the country. There's going to be one here in the U.S. as well. Anyways, thought I would pass that on, that the paradigm shift was an attack on marriage and the family, which is why I spent the last half year praying upon and researching and meditating upon civilization in six words. One man's simple first step as a solution or as a tactic, if you will. And I think when you hear the talk, which you'll be able to get at my site at MikeChurch.com later today, or as an on-demand feature for a $5 donation at Crusade Channel in the on-demand section of the store today. So back to this letter that was sent to Archbishop Chaput. We young people, I left off a paradigm shift. Some of the leadership regarding a so-called paradigm shift relative to doctrine, the supremacy of individual conscience, and pastoral accommodation. My wife and I find these developments disturbing and potentially disastrous for the evangelization of the young and the fallen away. We young people have craved the truth and clarity of good teaching. On a secular level, this is evidenced by the meteoric rise in popularity of Jordan Peterson. We crave the truth, no matter how blunt or difficult it is for us to swallow or for the shepherds of our flock to teach. Again, if you young people out there are actually out there and you actually crave the truth, why aren't you listening to the Crusade Channel every day? Not to pat ourselves on the back, but I believe we to be, according to what you people that are listening right now, a beacon in a sea of darkness. And if you've made the secular Professor Peterson, who admits he's not a religious person, we admit it's something to the effect. If you make Dr. Peterson and you desire to hear it and you crave what it is that he has to say, good Lord, what about what we have to say here that's backed up by capital T, the capital A, authority? I'm not saying, folks, and I'm not complaining, I'm just saying that if these things that I read that these people say are true, where's the cavalry? And why can't we seem to make the impression that Professor Peterson has made? What, do I have to get locked up in a jail? Because he was threatened with incarceration if he didn't shut up. Maybe I need to give my talk on civilization in six words in Canada so the minister of speech can come and throw me in a slammer and threaten to put me on trial for hate speech like they did Mark Stein. That's it. Our culture is roiled in confusion concerning the basic tenets of human nature. From a very young age, we're deluged with propaganda that distorts basic scientific truths about gender, paints virtue and chivalry as toxic masculinity, denigrates the family, and desecrates the nature of sex and its fruits, especially the unborn children. Again, Crusade Channel, bro. It's right here. Doesn't happen here. Imagine if this were to get out to the same people that crave Peterson's truth. It's on steroids here, and not just from me. We urgently need the church's clarity and authoritative guidance on issues like abortion, homosexuality, gender dysphoria, the indissolubility of matrimony, the last four things, and the consequences of contraception. Now, what he's asking here for is, this is Catholic social teaching. This is basic catechism here. Simple. And by the way, this is where the church crosses paths with the state. And the church ought to win. But the church isn't winning. Why? Mainly because the church is filled with cowards. And the state is not. That's why. My generation has never or rarely heard these truths winsomely taught in the parishes. Instead, we hear most frequently and forcefully and frequently from our bishops' conference and our dioceses regarding the federal budget, border policy, net neutrality, gun control, and the environment. Increasingly, we have noticed an appeasement of modern culture under the broad cloak of pastoral sensitivity, including cases of some high-profile clergy who deliberately blur the church's teaching regarding homosexuality and transgenderism in the name of building bridges. The dubia remain unanswered. Discussions of beauty in the liturgy and reverent reception of the Eucharist are mocked. Heads are scratched at decreasing mass attendance. Yet young people who look to tradition to recover our bearings are chided as rigid. Reading a letter here that was written to Archbishop Charles Chaput here on the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers, always online at crusadechannel.com. Again, if you're listening and you enjoy what you're hearing and you're going like, yeah, those kids ought to be exposed to the Crusade Channel. We ought to. Well, let's make sure that the Crusade Channel stays on air. How about that? Take it seriously. Go make an investment in our future today. Upgrade your membership, if you can, at crusadechannel.com. And thank you, thank you, thank you to all you who do so. If you're not a member, become one. Join us. Why are you supporting global conglomerates that have subverted the truth and have convinced you that the truth is false and that the falsity is the truth? Why are you giving them your money? They're using it against you. Look, I'm over wealth, fame, and fortune. All I want is to survive and hopefully recruit a future generation of me's. You know, also, by the way, one of the things that we're doing here on this channel is providing on-the-job training for the next generation of radio hosts. Because I'm telling you, they're not being trained anywhere else. They're not out there. There is no bench, as they say. The vocation is going to die. It's being turned over to amateurs that do not work at the craft, do not give a rat's furry behind about live vocational radio broadcasting or news or anything of the sort. Oh, but there's a 500,000 podcasters. Well, I don't need it because I can't podcast them. There's a vast difference between a broadcaster, emphasis on that term, broad, and Take 16 podcasters who still can't get it right. No knock on the podcaster, but you're crowding out important messages. You are. Minister Church played, you're insulting people. Not insulting people. That's all pride and vanity. What are you saying? So only people like you? No. I'm saying that there is a craft and a vocation here, and it can't take a hold or is having a difficult time taking a hold because there's so much noise around it. That's what I'm saying. It is what it is, folks. It is what it is. CrusadeChannel.com. This shift away from clarity is demoralizing for faithful young Catholics, particularly those with a heart for the new evangelization and my friends raising children against an ever-stronger cultural tide. Peers of mine who are converts or reverts have specifically cited teachings like Humanae Vitae, Familiaris Consortio, and Veritatis Splendor as beacons that set the church and her wisdom apart from the world and other faiths. Now they're hearing from some in the highest levels of the church that these liberating teachings are unrealistic ideals and that conscience should be the arbiter of truth. All right, I'm going to stop right here. You should read Archbishop Chaput here. I'll come back to it on Monday. I marked the place where I left off because I want to segue to this for the final couple of minutes here of the program. Thanks to whoever posted this in the Crusader Room on Facebook. And if you want to join the Crusader Room on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, you might as well just find the Crusader Room. It's a group. Send a message that you want to join, and we'll check your Founders Pass membership. And if you're a Founders Pass member, bammo, you're in. Great early 20th century Russian Christian philosopher on the devil's role in history. People think it's cute. It's funny when I say the demons are ascended, they come for the children, and they're not going to take no for an answer. It's not a joke. That is not a joke. And it's written by Ivan Ely, I believe is how you pronounce it. Ivan Ely. In The Life of the Human Race, he writes, The diabolical principle has its own history. On the question, serious academic literature exists, not concerning, however, recent decades. Yet named recent decades shed new light on the past two centuries. Now, this guy just nails this because he goes right to the source. The so-called Enlightenment is where the rot got out of the genie bottle. It's where the heresy became the faith. It's where Beelzebub finally got the upper hand. And he did it through the perversion, the one true religion. One true faith. Upon the bark of St. Peter. Better charge you, kid. You're gonna... I don't care what I'm gonna. Hair lip man. The age of the European Enlightenment undermined within men belief in the being of a personal devil. The educated man cannot believe in the existence of such a revolting anthropomorphic being with a tail, claws, and horns, unseen by anyone, but portrayed in ballads and in pictures. Luther still believed in him and even hurled filth at him, but later centuries rejected the devil. And he gradually disappeared and flamed out as an outdated prejudice. Oh, how do you like that? It's prejudice against Beelzebub. Sure there is. But it was precisely then that art and philosophy became interested in him. The enlightened European had only Satan's cloak remaining, and he began to drape himself in it with fascination. There burned a desire to find out more about the devil, discern his true form, guess his thoughts and wishes, transform him into him, or at least walk before men in his disguise. And so art began to imagine and portray him, while philosophy attended to his theoretical justification. The devil, of course, didn't succeed because the human imagination is incapable of containing him. But in literature, music, and painting began a culture of demonism. From the beginning of the 19th century, Europe has been fascinated with his anti-divine forms. There appears the demonism of doubt, negation, pride, rebellion, disappointment, bitterness, melancholy, contempt, egoism, and even boredom. The poets depict Prometheus, the son of the morning, Cain, Don Juan, and Mephistopheles. And then he gets into some more of the people that use the demon, but they've used the devil. What he's basically saying is our culture is demonic. It is. It kills without conscience. It maims without conscience. It does all sorts of things without conscience. State Department, Russia working with Syrian regime to sanitize evidence of chemical attack. Can you believe this? This is what Fox News is now. This is what your news channel is now reporting, that the Russians are now trying to, basically our boy, Pearson Shaw, didn't see what he saw. What he saw was after the Russians went in there and sanitized. This is from the first hour, by the way. It's just an update. This is just, folks, do you see this now? Even when the truth is known, they're going to go behind you and say, no, no, that's not the truth. No, man, the Russians did it. Come on. Back to Ivan Ilyin. Simultaneously, the mystical doctrine holding that there is a dark principle even within God is revived. The German romantics find poetic words in favor of innocent shamelessness, and the left Hegelian Max Stirner comes out openly preaching human self-deification, and demonic egoism. The abyss concealed beyond this was seen by Dostoevsky. He identified it and with prophetic alarm sought the means to overcome it his whole life. Maybe I've got a little Dostoevsky in me. What he exalts, Nietzsche designates the totality of religious subjects as a heap of lies born from bad instincts by nature, sick and harmful in the deepest sense. The Christian conception of God is, for him, one of the corrupt conceptions created on the earth. In his eyes, all Christianity is only a crude fable of a wonder worker and savior. And Christians, the party of rejected nobodies and idiots. Wow. I'm not going to have time to finish this. I want to jump to the conclusion. Our generation, now he wrote this, Elian wrote this in 1945. This is true today, worse than it was then. Our generations are set before terrible, mysterious manifestations of this diabolical element, and up to this time have not resolved to express their life experiences in the right word. Life experience in the right words. We could describe this element as black fire, or define it as eternal envy, unquenchable hatred, militant banality, shameless lies, like the one I just told you about in Syria, absolute impudence and absolute lust for power, see Syria, the trampling of spiritual freedom, see transgenderism, lesbianism, and every other assault against nature and against the family. This is me adding commentary. Back to Elian. The thirst for universal degradation, joy over the ruin of the best men, judgment pornosphere, right? And anti-Christianity. Look around you. It's everywhere. It's like Chicken Man. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. The man who has succumbed to this element loses spirituality, love, and conscience. Within him begins degeneration and dissolution. He surrenders the conscience, vice, and the thirst for destruction. He ends in defiant sacrilege and human torrent. The simple perception of this diabolical element provokes in a healthy soul repulsion and horror that can transition into genuine bodily melees, a specific faintness. Satanic men are recognized by their eyes, by their smile, their voice, their words, and deeds. We Russians have seen them alive and in the flesh, and we know who they are and whence they come. Yet foreigners up to this point have not understood this phenomenon and do not want to understand it, for it brings them judgment and condemnation. And to this day, certain reformist theologians continue to write on the utility of the devil and sympathize with his modern insurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll close the week with this. We see devils every day. We see those who are not possessed like they are in movie, obsessed. We see infestation every single day. You stare at it. It's on television, voices on radio, in print, and in media. Some of them maybe even around you. Men that are flying from the faith, cowards that won't stand up for their families, for the natural law, for the next generation, for the soon-to-be-born, for the sanctity of purity and chastity for their 9-year-old children. Ladies and gentlemen, those people are not saints. They are not to be deified. They are not to be admired. They're not to be coddled. They're to be dealt with as what they are, with all the love and charity, certainly, that we can muster, because we want to convert them back to the faith or to the faith. But you can't do it when you say, "Oh, well, I understand why they're doing that." No, you don't understand. Don't ever give in to it. "I understand." Don't, you do not understand. And even if you think you do, you don't. You're not God. Shut up. Follow the catechism, learn to love your neighbor the way you're supposed to, going along with their straight ticket and an express elevator to hell is not loving your neighbor, and it's not charitable. Think about that. Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. If you like what you just heard, if you think more ought to hear it, spread the word. I will make this the last 20 minutes, today's preview of the entire show at CrusadeChannel.com and at MikeChurch.com. Will you help me spread the word? Seriously, if everyone listening right now commits, Mike says he's going to post this as a podcast for free and as a post. I'll go and I'm going to forward it around, share it with everyone I know, and ask them to listen to it. Be prepared to lose friends, by the way. You're not going to make very many friends by doing this. Today, those with goodwill, though, will ultimately hear it. And they'll come running back for more. It may take time. It may ruin your weekend, but you're doing it for the right reason. Before you do that, say a little prayer. Pray for us here, but pray for what it is you're doing. And if God tells you that it's not what you should do, then don't do it. God tells you that, I don't think you're the one that ought to be that. And maybe no one thinks that they should do this. But I ask you, consider it.